for one purpose, for the sake of better understanding and creating a better bond between ourselves and our Creator, Allah. And this is very important in times in which, especially when Muslims themselves are sometimes wondering what is the difference between Allah and God. And also many non-Muslims, for example, you probably read on the internet, there was a school that got very upset when its students basically said, Allah is God and God is Allah. Imagine teachers, those that have degrees, those that are educated, those which we trust, those that we send our children to school to, and we trust that they will make good decisions for the sake of our children. They are getting upset with Christian and Jewish children that are making claims that Allah is God and God is Allah, and the teacher is saying, no, you don't understand. Allah is different from God and God is different from Allah. We believe in God, Muslims believe in Allah. Have you ever seen or heard of something so insane? As a matter of fact, as Muslims, we firmly believe that the Christian Allah and the Jewish Allah is the same Allah as the Muslim Allah, or the Allah of the Muslims. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, we are living in very challenging times and very unique times. At the same time, we also understand that this is a time of happiness for many people. It's the new year, it's the first day of the new year, and as Muslims, we have to make sense of two new years. One is the Islamic New Year that began very recently, and now the New Year of America and the Western world. And there is always this question that's going to be asked by many individuals, what is the relationship of Muslims and the New Year, both from the Islamic point of view as well as from the 2016 point of view? So let's make sense of this for a few minutes. When the Western New Year begins, for example, there are a lot of things that we bring into consideration. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman, then the question is going to be, how come I didn't do good in 2016, or how come I did do good? So we evaluate. Normal people evaluate. You don't just say it was a great year and that's it. It was a great year. So what do I take from that, and how do I improve for 2016? If it was a bad year in sales, maybe some of you are angry, you didn't sell enough, whatever it was. Well, why didn't I sell that, and what is the trend for 2016? For example, some people may have sold last year more of something and less of something else. It may be after 5 years that happened. Well, there is a reason why certain things you sell less and certain things you sell more. Now you have to evaluate. What do I do with that information? And we will evaluate that information because we want more finances. We want more money. We want more financial success. So we are ready to evaluate. Some people will say things like, my relationship was not very good in 2015. It was good from 2009 all the way to the beginning of 2015, then something happened. Now it's time to evaluate. Some people had great relationships in 2015, and before that they may have very poor relationship. They have to evaluate. That is what a Muslim does. The hadith makes very, very clear. A Muslim continues evaluating. He doesn't know, she doesn't just wait for end of the year cycles. We are in constant evaluation mode. We are very sensitive to ourselves. We are sensitive to those around us. And we should be, because it is that positive sensitivity that continual growth. So now what does the Quran talk about when it comes to, for example, loss, difficulties, challenges? Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. That a believer realizes that they're always going to be tested. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. If you knew the Arabic language, that lamb is not just there for fun and entertainment. You surely will be tested, Allah is saying. You surely will be tested. There is no doubt about this. You may think that there is a doubt, but it is going to happen. And those of you that have lived long enough, you have experienced each one of the things that Allah mentions in this ayah. And those of you that are young, one or two of them, you have either experienced it or seen it in someone else. What are these things? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. We will test you with a thing. Certainly we will test you with a thing. But insan likes arguing. Insan likes asking, what type of thing? When is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? Who's going to make it happen? What type of thing is going to happen? Allah says, I know your mentality. I know you like arguing. I know you like debating. So now Allah says, I'll give you examples of things. Min al-khawf. You will suffer from fear. Somebody going to get me. Either it's family. Either it's an outsider. Either it's a neighbor. The taxman. Khawf. Allah says, you're going to suffer from some type of fear. Yesterday we had a case. Alhamdulillah, one of our senior members was there. And we discussed. Now we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the truth of it or the falsity of it. Simple story. The man comes out of a store. The store security want to question him. He feels he didn't do anything. So he doesn't want to answer the question, that he continues going home. At night, I believe it was at night or something, the detective comes, knocks on the door. No police warrant, nothing. We're talking of a Muslim here. Knocks on the door, comes in the house, searches the entire house. And one, either that police or the other one that was with him, puts him in handcuffs and they take him to prison. Jail, prison, and some people say there's a difference. I don't know the difference. To me, both are bad places and you shouldn't go there. But anyway, he's taken there. And the person that does the booking, they want to release him and they want to say what charge they're going to release him with. And you know what charge they took him in for? It wasn't theft. It wasn't rape. It was deception. Have you ever saw anyone go to prison for deception? That's what he claims they took him in for. So what the Quran says, min al-khawf wa lanabluwannakum bishay'in min al-khawf. And what are the police, when they're talking to him, what they tell him? This is what they tell him. I don't care about getting a warrant, so to speak, to come and get you. I'm having a bad day, so you just cooperate with me. Have you ever seen this in the America that we are aware of? And this is not new. The amount of incidents that have taken place recently against Muslims, it makes each one of us fearful. Fearful in the sense that we don't know what's going to happen next. Yesterday it happened to him. Last week there was a young sister that was pushed into a locker in school. And they told her, go back home. And this is almost a continual thing that is taking place. So Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. You will be tested with fear. And people will harass people within your community. So you may become fearful. And what does the other hadith say? We talked about a long time ago. When a person walks up to Rasulullah ﷺ and says, you know, we will be a lot in number. In other words, we will be good. We'll have a defense. We'll be so many. People will stand for our defense when something goes wrong. Rasulullah said, no, you will be a lot in number. You will be a lot in number. 1.5 billion is a lot. But you will be as if you are sitting on a table. When you grab a piece of meat, how you rip it, people will rip upon you like that. And everyone knows what I'm talking about. Muslims and non-Muslims alike. من الخوف والجوع. And you will be tested with hunger. You will be tested with food. You know, they say some of the greatest and best companies to invest in America is in food companies. What type of food companies? Those that are genetically modifying things. Imagine. Those that are genetically modifying things, those companies will bring you the highest revenue. And what are we doing as when it comes to food? We go to foreign lands, we take over their property, thousands and thousands of hectare acres, we take it over, we put this genetically modified stuff in the ground, things grow very, very fast, they have a great yield, we strip their ground, we strip their property, their lands become worthless. They can't do anything later with that land, and they suffer from poverty. While we are enjoying it here in America with having food that is cheap. At the expense of who? Another human. At the expense of who? A human that is starving them. At the expense of who? A human that is now cursing you and I. You enjoy your food that is cheap in the store. You're getting it at the expense of what? Another human that is cursing you. Do you think you're going to get away with that as a people? Allah talks about that in the Quran. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. And you will be tested with fluctuations of wealth. One day you'll have, next day you won't have. وَالْأَنْفُسِ. You'll be tested with family. One day they'll be with you, next day they will go. Life, death comes, goes. والثمرات. And every type, according to some ulama, they say thamarat means in every type of goodness. So Allah is passing a message in the Quran. Yes, the new year is coming, the new year is here. It's a wonderful time, it's a happy time. However, we cannot lose focus on who we are and what we are going through as a nation, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Thereafter Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the one that has patience. The one that has a lack of wealth. The one that has lost a loved one. The one that has suffered poverty, hunger, fear, and been through all this challenge. Allah says, as long as you made sabr, and what does the hadith says? Every time you think about the pain you went through, let's say you lost a child, you lost a business. I don't mean filing bankruptcy and playing with the law. I'm not talking about that type of losing business. I'm talking about legitimately losing your business. Legitimate. Big difference. And the first, and the thought of that business comes to you. The thought of the child comes to you that you lost. That type, you lost that car, whatever it is. And it makes you feel bad. And then immediately you say, but you know what? It happened for a reason. And I accept it. Allah says, when you accept it, there'll be glad tidings upon you. I will give you beauty upon beauty. I will give you reward upon reward. I will give you bounty upon bounty. Not only in this world, but in the hereafter to come as well. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there was a young boy, and we talked about him before. He was riding on the animal of Rasulullah. His name was Ibn Abbas, about roughly 13 years old. And Rasulullah gives him advice. And this is advice that we give to every young boy over here. Where he says, oh young boy, oh young man, be mindful of Allah. In other words, when you do something, always realize, young boy, that Allah is watching you. You got a problem with your father, Allah is watching you. You got a problem with your child, Allah is watching you. You got a problem with your neighbor, Allah is watching you. That means, how am I going to deal with this without making my Allah more angry? Am I going to trample the rights of that person because now I'm powerful, this person is weak? So, oh young boy, be mindful of Allah, and you shall find Allah in front of you. What does that mean? It means the way in which you will now make your choices, the way in which you would live, the way in which you will behave. It'll be as if, you know what, my Allah has wished it. Things are good, Allah has wished it. Things are bad, Allah has wished it. It'll come right. But oh young man, in other words, if you don't make Allah your focal point, you're going to make that fear your focal point. You're going to make the death of your child the focal point. You're going to make the loss of your business your focal point. You're going to make the loss of the challenges that are coming before you your focal point. You can't have two gods, my friend. You can't have it that way. It's either Allah is your focal point, or the difficulties are your focal point. And if the difficulties of your life become your focal point, you're going to be ruined by the difficulty. It'll eat you up alive. You will not be able to sleep at night. You will be not able to think properly. It'll affect your healthy mental skills. It'll affect your studies. It'll affect your relationship. It'll affect your salah. It'll affect your zakah. It'll affect your charity. It'll affect your prayer. It'll affect your hajj. It'll affect your pilgrimage. It'll affect everything adversely. And your life is too precious for you to be affected adversely. So he says, oh young boy, be respectful, be mindful of Allah, and you shall find Allah in front of you. And remember Allah in times of prosperity. Remember Allah when you are successful. That way when you go through challenges, Allah will say, you know the story of Yunus alayhi salam. Allah will say, that's my servant. He's making dua. She's making dua. Go, angels, say ameen to that dua. So my brothers, as we proceed in this new year, whether you're looking from an Islamic point of view or a secular point of view, this is the number one thing we should have in front of us as our focal point. The second thing is for our youth over here. And I want to give you, because nowadays people always say, where's your proof? Where's your proof? Whenever you're going to say anything, where's the proof? You tell a person to dress a certain way, where's your proof? Everybody wants proof. And when you give them the proof, what they say, times have changed. Insan is very unique. He wants and she wants the proof. When you give the proof, times have changed. Why did you ask me the proof? When you are wanting a heart surgery, you don't tell the doctor, can you please now show me your certificate? Can you show me exactly which surgery you're going to do, this one or that one? You tell the doctor that he's going to say, go from here, go to somebody else. I've got another patient waiting for me. Because he doesn't need to give you all the proof. And if he gave you all the proof, what do you know about heart surgery, liver surgery or anything? Half of us don't even know what a cell is made up of. Some of us cannot even distinguish between a plant cell and an animal cell. How are you going to distinguish between one surgery and another? But anyway, for our youth, you know, Yaqub alayhi salam gave advice to his child, Yusuf alayhi salam. One was the dream. One was in the dream. He says, oh my son, you have this wonderful dream. Please, please, don't tell it to your brothers and don't tell it to others. If you tell it to them, they may hurt you. So it's something special Allah has given you. Keep it to yourself, my young boy, and Allah will give you more. Later we know he can interpret dreams in such a magnificent manner that when he interpreted the dream of people in the prison, whether that dream was true or false, it became a reality. That's the power of a prophet. For those of you that are guests, Yusuf is known as Joseph in the Bible, and Yaqub is known as Jacob in the Bible. So we'll be talking about that for a few seconds. Second advice he gave to his child, an advice that was given, when you go and meet Yusuf in Egypt, then don't go together as one big force and one big group. And this is the disease of the West. The disease of the West is, we got to show how great we are. You know, when we were doing the Iraq invasion, you know, that was taking place, we had to show our power. You don't just go into one airplane, you got to send a barrage of them. Night and day, 24 hours, we're doing this and doing that. We got to show we're powerful. We forget Allah is watching. Allah doesn't like arrogance. Allah doesn't like when you say, we are this and we are that. Allah doesn't like that. And today now our deficit is what? I don't know how many trillion dollars. There's a 18 trillion. He says 18, so one somebody said 19 the other day. It's going up. This man is optimistic. Maybe he went down between yesterday and today. But the bottom line is, there's a lesson here. You act like a big boy, you act like a big girl, Allah is going to hold you accountable like a big boy and big girl. So let's not get arrogant. Yusuf alayhi salam in the Bible, in the Quran is saying, is being said, Yaqub alayhi salam is saying that when you go and visit Yusuf alayhi salam, don't be arrogant when you go. Go from separate doors. Don't show you are this powerful force. Because if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself or you may get hurt. This brings us to the young boys and girls over here. For the sake of Allah, when you're eating your pizza, don't take a Snapchat and send it to 1,000 people out there. It's your pizza, you enjoy it. When you wear nice clothing, this one person came to the office, was saying, Imam, look at this girl, Imam. She's sending me this picture. Imam, I can't get her out of my heart. I said, look at that picture. That picture is taken in the fitting room. She's wearing the store's clothing. She's wearing somebody else's clothing, somebody else's boots, taking the picture, making it seem like it's hers. And I'm telling this guy, you're going crazy over her. Where's your brains? What's my point? Eat your pizza, enjoy it. Eat your shrimp, enjoy it. Don't go show the whole world you're eating shrimp. And that shrimp is the bottom dweller, is eating filth. And you eating something that eats filth. How clean are you? Don't go into all that. Because when you show off to the world, this is me and my husband and boyfriend together. There is no need for that. Because understand that when you start showing off to the world, the ni'mah Allah has given you, understand what I'm going to say very clearly. The one that you're showing it off to may be going through a difficulty in life. They may be going through a rough patch in life. And they're going to think, I can't even afford a pizza. It's Eid day, I can't even afford boots and clothing. It's Eid day, I can't even go and have my nails done. It's Eid day, I cannot even afford the certain outfit. And my friend that knows that I'm going through a hardship is sending me this picture. Why is she challenging me? Why is he challenging me? My brother and sister, at that point, if Allah accepts that person's dua, wear your beautiful outfit, but you'll never have beauty in it. Now you understand why. You wear beautiful clothing. You do all these beautiful things, but you're doing it with a sense of arrogance. And when you do it with a sense of arrogance, understand Allah is watching. And Allah does not like arrogant people. Now you understand why we are not happy. Now you understand why we are so sad. Now we understand why we are in this challenge. All the young ones are staring at me a little bit too seriously right now. There's something going on with your Snapchat, maybe, I don't know. But it is something for you to reflect upon. So we leave with these two thoughts or these two ideas. The first that we talked about, Allah is going to test you and I. And that will happen till the day we die. We have to endure the test. And the test will come in different ways. And it's through our endurance of it and acceptance of it and making good of the worst situation, Allah will improve our situation. And will make us better than what we are. And number two for 2016, please cut down. Cut down the showing off to others regarding how great you really are. Just think of the time when you were sick. What happened? You know, you get a headache, all your greatness goes away. Think of that time when you couldn't sleep at night because of that worry. Do things that will limit your arrogance. And Allah will give you barakah. And the more you focus on this greatness of self, Allah will leave you. Allah will say, yes, you are great, now go do your own thing. And when Allah leaves you and I, my brothers and sisters, it creates tremendous amount of adversity. So may Allah SWT help us and protect us. May Allah SWT help us and guide us. And may Allah SWT continue to help us focus on that which is positive, that which is good, and make us appreciate the ni'mah that we have. May He make us share it with others and not show it off to others at all times. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.